One of the frightening things about the war in Syria is the risk of that violence spilling over the border. And we're looking at one place this morning where that is already happening. In Iraq's Anbar province last week, a series of bombs exploded, killing dozens of people. When American soldiers were in Iraq, they fought some of their toughest battles here against al-Qaeda-linked groups. Now, Islamist extremists are carrying out a new wave of violence after regaining strength thanks to the war in neighboring Syria. These extremists have even controlled parts of some Anbar towns. The U.S. military might be gone from Iraq, but America is busy advising and arming Iraq's government as it tries to fight this new militant threat. Here's NPR's Alice Fordham.
The extremists Iraq faces today are significantly better trained, funded, and equipped than the al-Qaeda American soldiers fought. So says Brett McGurk, one of the State Department's top officials for Iraq. Between 300 and 500 fighters have set up a defensive perimeter around Fallujah, he explains. They are armed with high-velocity sniper rifles. Speaking last week on the sidelines of a conference in northern Iraq, McGurk says they don't have the same iron control over the rest of the province. But still, the militants have driven out more than 400,000 people since January. And their operations aren't confined to Anbar province, of course. The group has become increasingly and lethally active again across the rest of Iraq.
A key data point are suicide bombers, because suicide bombers, I mean, we know that they consider them their most precious, in a very perverse way, and most strategic resource. They are now able to deploy about 30 to 40 suicide bombers a month here in Iraq.
That's contributing to a horrifying spike in the number of violent deaths. So, what's the plan? McGurk says that the Iraqi government has undertaken to employ 10,000 of the tribesmen of Anbar in the security forces. These Sunni tribes complain of neglect by the Shiite-led government, and some have even supported the militants. There's also a police training program. Will that be enough? Zayd al-Ali, who recently published a book, The Struggle for Iraq's Future, says that the problems are broader than that. In Sunni-dominated places like Anbar, they won't be solved by security measures alone. He thinks that chronic unemployment also needs to be addressed, and, more importantly, entrenched sectarian practices by the security forces. Detention without charge and torture are far more common in places like Anbar, he says, which feeds hatred of the government.
It's been a major issue because there's a lot of abuse of detainees in Iraq. And there are a lot of cases, everyone knows about this, it's not a secret, there are a lot of cases of people being detained for no reason and for very long periods of time without access to attorneys, without access to judges, without access to any type of recourse. And that really needs to change extremely urgently.
Ali also says that endemic corruption is fueling insecurity. He says that crooked purchasing practices mean that ineffective bomb detectors are widely used, and al-Qaeda-linked groups have infiltrated the police and army.
It's as a result of something like 4 or 5 years of incompetence and corruption in the security sector, and it's going to be very difficult to overturn at this stage.
All eyes are on Iraqi elections, which are due to happen at the end of April. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has built his political legitimacy on his ability to maintain a modicum of security in Iraq. As he pushes for a third term, such security remains in short supply. Alice Fordham, NPR News.